have your Bible this morning, I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm going to read a setting of verse that we are all familiar with. It's Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. We're going to read the 11th verse, the 12th verse, and the 13th verse. Jeremiah 29:11, the scripture says, and this is God speaking, the Almighty is speaking. And he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." And I'm going to stop reading right there, ask that you bow your heads and allow the Holy Spirit to just move on your heart, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that we have this opportunity together here in your name. We are thankful today that we have sensed your presence in our worship service. We are thankful today, O God, that you have touched our hearts and our lives as we have worshiped you. And I would pray this morning, Lord, that as we come to the reading of your word, that you would divinely enable me to be effective in delivering the word that you have placed upon my heart. Give us liberty, I ask, in the house of the Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding, the ear of our spirit, that we may both see and hear and receive of you this morning. Above all things, I ask that Christ would be glorified, and that you would elevate him, and that you would edify and lift us up in him. And for all of these things, Father, we will forever be grateful, and we will forever be thankful. And we ask them now in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, A God of Plans. A God of Plans. As we begin, it is the 11th verse that I desire to look closely at. God says in that 11th verse, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. Thoughts to give you an expected end." The first thing this morning that I would like to point out to you is a point that I find rather astonishing all by itself. But the text clearly says that we are all on the mind of God. Think about that for a moment. We are all on his mind. How many of you have ever had someone on your mind? Maybe you got up thinking about them. You were thinking about them throughout the day. Couldn't get them off your heart in the evening. You hear what I'm talking about? That's the way we are on God's mind. We are on God's mind. He is obsessed with us. He tells us in the book of Jeremiah, he said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." How many of you know when you fall in love, you can't get that person off of your mind? Ow! It's true. When you fall in love, you cannot get that person off of your mind. That's the way we are on the mind of God. You are on his mind. You know why? Because he is madly in love with you. He is obsessed with you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And because of that love, you are continually on his mind. He said, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. There's other translations that put it this way. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They are plans for good and not evil. They are plans to give you a future and a hope. How many of you here this morning, amen, want a bright future and need some hope for the future? I got some good news. God said, you are on my mind, and I got some good thoughts towards you, and my thoughts are to give you an expected future and a blessed hope. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, the devil may plot against us, but God has a plan for us. I said the devil may plot against us, but God has a plan for us. From the front cover of the Bible to the final chapter of the book of Revelation, it reveals that our God is a God of plans. Amen. When the Lord began to put this on my heart, I began to think of some examples. And I tell you again, from the very front cover to the back cover, it reveals that God is a God of plans. In the book of Genesis, the Bible said in verse 1, amen, or chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the verse after it says, and the earth was out without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then the Bible goes on to tell us how that he created this magnificent world that we live in, and how he made man and set man in the garden and give him dominion over all the works of his hands, and said, be fruitful and multiply. But we all know what happened. Man fell and sin entered into the garden. Sin entered into the realm of mankind. Sin entered into the world. But God had a plan. And the Bible said in the book of Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Amen. And to condemn sin in the flesh, and to open up a new and living way to eternal life. What I'm saying this morning is that man may have fell in the garden, but our God had a plan. Our God had a plan to redeem man. Go to the book of Exodus, and when God looked down upon the children of Israel, he saw them in Egypt's bondage. He saw them in slavery, amen, slavery to Pharaoh. He saw them in bondage, and he saw them. How many of you know that Egypt is a type of sin? Amen. Many of us were in our sin, and God saw us in our bondage and in our sin. But I'm going to tell you something. God had a plan then, and God has a plan now. God back then called his servant Moses and said, you go and you stand before Pharaoh and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I came to tell you this morning, God had a plan, and God still has a plan. Amen. You know the story. Moses goes before Pharaoh and said, God, Jehovah, I am, says, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I don't know your God. Moses said, you're about to meet him. Hello? And God had a plan. And plague after plague after plague fell upon the Egyptian people until finally they said, get out of here and go serve your God. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Our God is a God of plans. Go to the book of Judges. And when the people of God, it's 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, when the people of God stood on the valley floor of Elah, and for 40 days and 40 nights, there was a champion of the Philistines that came out to challenge them both morning and night. And all of the armies of Israel were shaking in their boots. They were fearful and afraid. But I came to tell you this morning, God had a plan, and he sent a little shepherd boy with a slingshot and five stones, and he dropped that giant and gave the children of Israel a victory. I came to tell you today, God has a plan. Samson, when he played a fool, laid his head in the lap of Delilah. And she lied to him over and over and over again. Until finally he told her, amen, he told her the secret of his covenant with God. And the Bible says that she had his hair cut off, and then they gouged his eyes out. And think about it. Here is a champion of God who falls into such a state where he is grinding at the mill as a little boy led by those because he has no sight, led by his enemies. Amen. He was a warrior. He was a champion. He was a mighty man of God, and yet he fell. And because of his fall, he fell in such a manner that they gouged his eyes out and they caused him to grind at the mill. He was no longer a threat, but God had a plan. But God had a plan. And his hair began to grow back out. And there was a day, the Bible tells us, that he went into the temple and they were there to make fun of him. But the Bible tells us that he told the lad that was leading him, take me to the pillars of this building so I can lean against them. And the little lad takes him to the main pillars of the building. And God heard the prayer of Samson one more time. Amen. I'm here to tell you, God has a plan. You may be going through some things this morning, but I got to tell you, God said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, and I know there are thoughts of good and not evil. I've come to give you an expected end and a future filled with hope. Amen. You may not be looking like it right now, but I came to tell somebody, God has a plan. Hallelujah. If you finish that story in the book of Judges about Samson, the Bible said that he prayed to God. He's got one hand on one pillar of that temple and another on the other. And he said, God, avenge me of my enemies. And God heard his prayer. And with all of his might, he pushed upon those pillars, and the pillars allowed the house to fall. And the Bible said that he killed more in the end than he had in all of his lifetime. I said, God is a God of plans. When Saul had been disobedient, and when God said by the prophet, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and now the Lord has rejected you, Saul, from being king over Israel. God had a plan, and he sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint David to sit in the throne. You hear what I'm saying this morning? God has always had a plan. He is a God of plans. When Joseph found himself sold into slavery for 30 pieces of silver, amen, and then there in Potiphar's house, he's accused of a crime that he didn't commit, and he wakes up one morning and finds himself in the county jail. God had a plan, and God brought him from the pit to the palace, amen, and made him second in command over all of Egypt. Amen. I'm telling you, God has a plan. When the children of Israel left Egypt's bondage, and they are told by God where to camp. You can read it in the book of Exodus. I believe it is the 16th and 17th chapter. They are told by God where to camp. God said, you go over and you camp in Migdol, right up against Baal-Zephon, and you camp there right against the sea. Now, if you know the geology of that place or the geographical layout of that place, it means that they were to camp right in one spot, and there was a mountain on one side and water on the other side. And guess what happened? Here they are leaving Egypt, and Pharaoh decided that he wasn't going to let them go after all. And so here came Pharaoh's army, and they are literally locked in because of the geographical area that they were told to camp in. Hello? Well, God, why did you put me here so I can get some glory out of it? Hello? So the Bible says they are right up against the sea, locked in with a mountain and the Red Sea, and here come Pharaoh's army. Josephus, the first century historian, says that there were over 200,000 foot soldiers. There were over 50,000 chariots, and there were over 600 chosen chariots of the Pharaoh's army. And here they are all coming against the children of Israel. But God had a plan. Hello? But God had a plan. While everybody else was saying, Moses, you have brought us out here to die. You have brought us out here to perish. God speaks to Moses and says, lift up your rod, amen, and see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy who you see today, you will see them no more again forever. And when Moses lifted up a rod, amen, the Bible said that God parted the water, amen, and the ground dried up, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. I know you are facing an impossible. Possibility, but I came to tell somebody that with our God, all things are possible. Amen. And God ain't going to leave you out here stranded. God has a plan, and God will see you to the other side. Hallelujah. How many of you remember the story of the three Hebrew children? Nebuchadnezzar says, I've made this wonderful statue, and at the sound of the music, everybody bow down. Three Hebrew children said, we ain't gonna be able to do that. Sorry, not gonna happen. And you know what happened? The Bible says that when they blew the trumpets and everybody bowed down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all would not bow. And so the king in his anger said, heat up that furnace 7 times hotter than it has ever been. And they heat up that furnace, and the heat was so intense that when they threw the three Hebrew children into the fire, those that threw them into the fire fell. They perished because the heat was so intense. The king walked by, looked in that furnace and said, hey, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three in there? Yeah, oh king, we threw three. He said, well, listen, I don't know. Maybe it's a mirage, but I see four. And all four of them are loose and walking around in there. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. I said, God had a plan. He knew what they were facing. But when they threw them in, he joined them in the fire. Can you say amen? And the heat had no hurt. And the heat had no harm. And they came out of that situation shouting the victory of God. All because God is never without a plan. God had a plan. How many of you remember when Lazarus died? They came to Jesus and said, your friend whom you love, he's sick. Jesus said, it's not unto death. And then Lazarus turned around and died. But God had a plan. And when Jesus showed up, Martha comes to him and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. He said, I'm here now. Hello? That's a real loose white translation. I'm here now. If you will only believe, you'll see the glory of God. They get to the tomb where Lazarus had lay for 4 days. Amen. And Jesus says to those that are gathered around, roll back the stone. And somebody said, Lord, by now he stinketh. In the Greek, that literally means he stinketh. Amen. After 4 days, amen, the stench had started to arise. Lord, by now he stinks. And Jesus said unto them, said not I unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. I came to tell somebody this morning, if you will only believe, you are going to witness the manifestation of the power of a living God. He's not going to leave you in the grave. He's not going to leave you in the ocean of life, but he's brought you this far to see you all the way over to the other side. Jesus looked at that grave opening and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said that Lazarus was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. How many of you only know, how many of you know the only way he could get out of there was to come hopping? Oh, I can see it in my mind. He looked like a mummy. Lazarus, come forth. Hello? Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Amen. All the while, God had a plan. Paul on the road to Damascus with a letter in his pocket to persecute the church of the living God. Amen. He was authorized to do damage to the church. He was authorized to persecute the people of God. But God had a plan. And on the Damascus road, God dropped him to his knees by a light that was so powerful. And Paul looked up into the heavens and said, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And Paul said, Lord, what will you have me do? Amen. I came to tell somebody, God had a plan then, and God has a plan now. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas find themselves beaten and scourged, and blood is running down their back, and they are locked into the inner prison. And there they sat, blood running down their backs, beaten and despised because they had been preaching the truth. And here they are, locked away in chains, in jail. You'll find it in Acts chapter 16, but I also want you to know that God had a plan, and God sent an earthquake. Amen. When they begin to pray and they begin to sing, God began to rock that jailhouse, and he caused the chains to fall off of their hands and fall off of their feet, and the prison door swung open wide, and they were set free by the power of our God. I came to tell you, God is still in the prison shaking business, and God is still in the chain breaking
making business, and you may be bound, but hey, our God is a God that is able to set you free.
Hallelujah. I'm about to have a runaway. Good gravy. Man, I'm telling you what. John on the Isle of Patmos. John the Beloved. John the Beloved. The disciple that laid his head on Jesus' shoulder. Finds himself on the Isle of Patmos. Doing hard time because of his testimony and his ministry to God. Now, maybe you know that's kind of a tough way to go. You get locked onto an island doing hard time, all because you're testifying and witnessing of Jesus. And here John is on the Isle of Patmos, a castaway, a stowaway. He is locked off into an island like Alcatraz to be forgotten. But God had a plan. And you can read about it in the book of Revelation. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. Amen. I heard a voice behind me that sounded like the voice of many waters. And I'm going to tell you what happened on that Isle of Patmos. While John was locked away, God delivered to that man one of the greatest end time prophecies that the world has ever known. And he wrote the entire book of Revelation on that aisle. I came to tell somebody this morning, don't give up on God, because God has not given up on you, and his thoughts toward you are good and not evil. He came to give you the best because you are the love of his life. Hallelujah. Well, let me go to one last example. Jesus on the wooden cross, beaten and scourged, and his beard plucked, where they had yanked out the hair from his face. He is mocked and despised. He is bleeding and wounded, and the crown of thorns are sending a stream of blood down his forehead. And everybody at the foot of the cross heard him. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and he died. And all of hell had a party. We have got him now. It is finally over. We have destroyed that eye-opening, leper-cleansing, walking-on-water guy. We have finally destroyed him. And they took his lifeless, limp body down off of the cross, and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. Hallelujah. How many of you know it was just borrowed? But God had a plan. God had a plan. And 3 days later, the power of God kicked out the door on that tomb, and Jesus Christ arose victorious over death. He arose victorious over hell, and he arose victorious over the grave. Jesus said in Revelation, I am he that liveth and was dead. Amen. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and hell. I came to tell you, he conquered our adversary. And because he lives, we can have life and have it more abundantly. God always has a plan. He is a God of plans. The devil may plot against us, but God has a plan. The Holy Spirit sent me here to tell you this morning that God has a plan for you. Do you think for a moment that He does not know where you are? Do you think for a moment that He does not know who you are? I came to tell you, you are His child. You are the love of His life. And though the enemy may plot against us, God has a plan in place for us. You may be here this morning with wayward children. I got some good news. God has a plan. You may be here this morning with some wayward grandchildren. I got some good news. God has a plan. You may be here this morning with some trouble in your marriage, but God has got a plan for your life. You may be here with trouble on your job, but God has a plan. You may be here with turmoil in your home, but God has a plan. You may be here with trouble in school, but God has a plan. You may be here with sickness in your body, but God always has had a plan, and God still has a plan right now for you today. Mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came to tell somebody this morning, you got this. I said, I came to tell somebody this morning, you got this. Amen. Not in your might, not in your power, not in your strength, but because of who you belong to. You got this. Nothing has happened in your life that caught God by surprise. Amen. God has always had a plan, and God still has a plan today. Yeah. Hallelujah. Our problem is often we just don't know what the plan is. Hello? And we are so impressed with ourselves that we think we need to know the plan. And sometimes we just need to have faith in God and trust Him, and He'll work out the plan. Hello? How many ever promised your children you're going to take them somewhere to have dinner or have supper? When are we going? When are we going? When are we going? Are we going now? Not yet. We're not going to go. No, we're going to go. I have a plan, but I don't know the plan. We're not going to go now. Are we going to go now? Hello? That's the way we are sometimes. God says, don't worry about it. I got this. You are the love of my life. I got this. All I need for you to do is have faith in me and trust me. And we're going to go. Okay. But you said we were going to go. Hello? You hear what I'm saying? Listen, all I came to tell you this morning is you got this. Because God has always had a plan. You may be experiencing problems in your finances. You may be going through trials or afflictions. God put it on my heart to tell you, do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Do not be confused. Do not be perplexed. Amen. You don't lean on your own strength, but lean upon the hand of God. And with God on your side, all things are possible. And with God on your side, you can overcome what you think you can't overcome. I know, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. You say, yeah, but Lord, the devil has plotted against me. God said, I know. I know. And I'm planning for you. I'm planning on your behalf. The enemy may have plotted against you, but I'm making some plans for you because you've been on my mind. I know the thoughts that I have toward you. You've been on my mind. You've been on my heart. And I know I've got some thoughts toward you. We need to understand this morning that we are not here by accident. None of us are here by accident. God told Jeremiah, and you can read it in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. This is what God said to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I sanctified you. I set you apart. That's what the word sanctification means. He's saying, I set you apart and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. What is he saying? He's telling Jeremiah, before you ever even knew who you were, I knew who you were. I knew who you were going to be, and I ordained that you would be a prophet. I had a plan in mind for you. Hello? God is saying to us this morning, He is the everlasting God, amen, knowing the beginning to the end, and each one of us have been brought forth into this generation for such a time as this. God knew who you were, amen, before you were ever born. God knew who you were before you ever came out of your mother's womb, and God already has a plan in mind for you. God said, I know who you were before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. I know your strengths. I know your weaknesses. I know your talents, and I know your shortcomings. I know you. I know who you are. Why? Because I have always had a plan in place for your life. Understand this morning that God has a plan for you. He called us by name. He brought us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. We are not on planet Earth by accident. We are not here this morning by happenstance, but we have come to this place to help fulfill the plan of our God in our lives. I want to point out some things to you this morning. It's the scripture that I want to point out to you is found in Psalms 37 and verse number 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. This is what it says. The steps of a good man or a woman are ordered of the Lord, are planned of God, are planned of the Lord. So when we read verse number 11 of our text, and it says, God said, I know the thoughts or the plans that I have toward you. I want you to put your name in place of the you. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for Shelley. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for Noreen. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for Shane. Personalize it, because that's who he's talking to. Mark, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They are thoughts of good and not evil. They are thoughts to give you a future and a blessed hope. Amen. Put your name in it. I know the thoughts that I have for you. The text declares two things. Number one, that God has a plan. And number two, that it is a good plan. How many of you want to have God work a good plan out in your life? Not only does he have a plan, but number two, it's a good plan. Webster's dictionary says that the word plan is a method or a way of doing something that is decided upon beforehand. A method or a way of doing something that is decided upon beforehand. Well, let me just tell you this morning, if God says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, and they are thoughts of good, so God has a plan, and it's a good plan. Well, let me just tell you, a good plan does not include failure. Hello? A good plan does not include failure. Now, you may have some setbacks. We all have had setbacks. And sometimes I told my kids when they were growing up, quit shooting yourself in the foot. I meant it literally, or, you know, figuratively. Quit shooting yourself in the foot. Sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? I mean, sometimes we get in the way of God's plan for our life, our own self. Hello? Sometimes we get in the way. Our actions delay the plan of God. But I came to tell somebody this morning that God has an established plan, and God has an established place of victory to bring you to. And even if you do shoot yourself in the foot, if you will keep your faith in God, He will pick you up, dust you off, strengthen you, and give you the power to come on around and enjoy the victory that He's always intended for you to have all along. Hallelujah. So what exactly is a good plan? Well, the Bible reveals three things. Turn with me to 3 John. I want to read it together. Turn with me to 3 John. What is the good plan? Well, the Bible reveals at least three things that are part of God's plan. 3 John chapter 1. Verse 2. God speaks through John and He says, Beloved. That's just not an old religious word. That word means those of you whom my heart is affectionate toward. Beloved, here's my plan. I would above all things that you may prosper. Everybody say prosper. And be in health. Everybody say and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. So that reveals three things. Number one, God wants our soul to be prosperous. God wants our body to be in health. And God desires for our life to be a prosperous thing. Now, when we mention the word prosper or prosperity, in our Western culture, we often automatically begin to think of material wealth. That's not what God's talking about. Yes, He wants you to be materially blessed. For those of you that, you know, say, well, God has kept me poor so He could keep me humble. Well, shame on you. You don't have to be poor to be humble. Hello? Well, never mind. Well, Pastor Gary, if it is God's will for everyone to prosper, then why isn't everyone prospering? Good question, right? Well, let me ask you another question. Is it God's will that everyone be saved? According to Scripture, He said that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then why isn't everyone coming to repentance? Because of their disobedience. Not everybody prospers because of their... Well, I probably shouldn't preach that. Hello? That's good preaching. Not everyone prospers because of their disobedience. Prosperity means so much more than just money. God wants us to prosper. The word prosper literally means to succeed or thrive. To succeed or thrive. God doesn't just want to bless us materially, but He wants to give us a peace that passes all understanding. God doesn't want to just prosper us materially, but he wants to give us a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to give us, a love that excels far beyond, the world that this love has. He wants to give us a hope that gives us strength and a vision to rise up and continue on. God has a plan to prosper your life if you will allow him to. It is a good plan. And I don't know about you, but I want God's plan for my life. I would rather have the plan of God in my life than my name on the largest bank account in the world. I would rather have the plan of God upon my life than to have notoriety and the accolades of men. I would rather have the plan of God upon my life than anything this world has to offer. Amen. I desire to have God's plan. I know that God's plan is a good plan. I know that his plan for me is good and not evil. I know that his plan will bring me to an expected end, which means that I know that all things are working together for my good to them who are called, amen, or who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Amen. If you love the Lord this morning, and you are striving to live a life that's dedicated to Christ, then I came to tell you, you may be experiencing some affliction, but just keep hanging on to the hand of God, because God has a plan. It's a good plan. And when God gets through working out his plan in your life, you're going to come out on the other side with victory in your heart. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. If you want God's plan in your life, we need to pray, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Jesus said when he taught the disciples how to pray, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want your will to be done in me. I don't know when we're going, but I trust you. I know we're going. Hello? I don't know where we're going, but I know we're going. Why? My Father said so. Oh, if that ever really gets in your spirit, it'll change your life. You see what I'm saying? How do you know you're going? Because my Father said so. It's as simple as that. My Father doesn't lie. My Father doesn't lie. Psalms, I'm going to read this verse and we're going to quit. Psalms 73, verse 24. The psalmist said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me up to glory. The psalmist is saying, Lord, you will guide me all the days of my life. You will work out your plan in my life. And when my plan has come to a close and I leave this world, you will receive me up into glory. When I say goodbye to this world, you will receive me and accept me, and you will take me home to be in glory with you forever and ever in the very presence of God. I came to tell someone this morning that God has a plan. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you are facing. But I want you to understand God has been thinking about you. He has some thoughts toward you. They are thoughts of peace and not evil. They're thoughts of good and not evil. He's working out something on your behalf. He's working out something on your behalf. All we need to do is just be faithful, hold on to our Father's hand, and just wait and see what he does. And I promise you, he will do what he always has done. He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Hello? He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Back in the old church, they used to say that he's a way maker. He's a way maker. That just simply means he'll make a way when there ain't a way to be made. That's him. That's him. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your situation. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. He said, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That's good enough for me. Bow your heads. All over the building this morning, bow your heads. How many of you here in this house would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, you preach this message for my heart today. You preach this message for my heart today. God sees your hand in yours and yours and yours and there and there. Be encouraged, saints of God. God is a God of plans. He hasn't brought you this far to see you fail. You are the love of his life. You are the love of his life. Let's pray. Father, you have seen every hand. You have witnessed those things that these, your people, are going through. You see the things, Lord, that have challenged them, that have come, Lord God, those things that have come to discourage and to displace them. Speak a word of encouragement to their heart this morning. I ask, oh God, let them know that you are working out a good plan in their life. We don't have to know the plan. We just have to have faith in our Father. We just have to trust in our God. I pray, oh God, that you will cause us to realize and recognize that your thoughts are toward us, that your plans are good. Help us to be willing to say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. You have your way. You work out, Lord, what seemeth good unto you. Encourage us here this morning, I ask, in the mighty name of Jesus. Stand to your feet all over the building and slip your hands up toward heaven while they sing.